This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. Ruchem Abayim to the Kol Agra de Pirka here in Kew Garden Hills, New York, where we have Yidden from all over the world, even from Hillcrest. So,
ambassador.
So today, in honor of the upcoming day of Lag BaOmer, Habaleinu Taiva, so we're going to speak about some of the mysteries of the Torah. We know Lag BaOmer is the day that, according to our tradition, the Rashbi taught what is known as the Zohar HaKadosh. Now, there is a very widespread misconception about the authorship of the Zohar. If you'd ask most Jews, what percent of the Zohar did Reb Shem Bar Yochai write? I don't know, he wrote the Zohar. So let me just set the record straight. What percent of the Zohar did Reb Shem Bar Yochai write? 0% of the Zohar. Yeah, taka, zero, not even 1%. He did not write it. He was not... Oh, good. How are you? He was not the author of the Zohar. He dictated the Zohar to his Talmud, Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba, by the way, who's Rabbi Abba? Anybody know who Rabbi Abba is? Rabbi Abba is Rav. When we say Rav Tanahu Apalig, Rav was Rabbi Abba. He was called Abba, a lashon of Chashivas. Rabbi Abba wrote the Zohar. You have Amoram, quote in the Zohar. It was added on at a later time. Rav Shem Bar Yochai dictated the secrets of the Zohar. We have a tradition that a good share of it he dictated on his final day, on Lag BaOmer. The Bnei Yisaschar writes, even though we don't know, we don't have evidence to this, but if Rav Shem Bar Yochai passed away on Lag BaOmer, in all likelihood he was probably born on Lag BaOmer as well, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mamalei Shnoisem Shel Tzadikim Mishana Lashana. Okay, be it as it may, by the way, I once saw Rabbi Kiveger. What's the pshat that tzaddikim, they born and they passed away the same day? What's the pshat in that? What's the significance of that? So he gives the following analogy. If you have an expert watchmaker, so the time is never off. It could tick for days and weeks and months and years, and 500 years later, it will be precise because the person who made the watch perfected it without any discrepancy whatsoever. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, and man should be a perfect watch. And Taka, you have my originals?
No, there's two sheets here.
So Taka, when a person starts, he should end on the same day. That's true. Every human being should technically pass away on the same day that they were born. The only thing is, you could have an expert watchmaker. But what if you give the watch to somebody, and he takes the watch, and he clops it, and he bangs it, and he goes into the mikveh with it? So then you're right. It should, the watch is going to break prematurely. So same thing with an Adam. If a person lives the way they're supposed to live, they're already programmed perfectly. They'll start and end on the same day. So tzaddik and taka, they do what they need to do. They live the way they're supposed to live. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memalei shnoisem shel tzaddikim miyom liyom. Okay, be it as it may, we're going to speak today about the tradition of Kabbalah. What I mean by that is, that on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah Shebichtav, as well as the principles of Torah Shebaal Peh, the principles of Gemara, the principles of Medrash, Tosefta, Sifra, Sifri, and the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Moshe Rabbeinu all the secrets of the Torah, all the secrets that are recorded, be it the Zohar, be it the Kisvei Ari, were Nimsara LaMoshe. Now we know the Torah, the Nigla, was given over from generation to generation, from Moshe to Yeshua to the Zakenim to the Nevi'im, all through the Doiros Ad HaYom HaZeh. What we're going to speak today is the tradition of Kabbalah. What is the Mesorah, the Shalshelas HaKabbalah of what we call Chachmas HaChein, Chachmas Nistar, the secrets of the Torah? We know Reb Shimon Bar Yochai had a tradition of it, the Arizal had a tradition of it, but how did it get from the Arizal till us today? We know that the Arizal's main primary disciple was none other than Reb Chaim Vital. Well, interesting, when Reb Chaim Vital passed away, he took all of his manuscripts and he buried it. And some of it, some say it was buried with him, some say it was buried elsewhere, and nobody was allowed to dig it up. In fact, the writings of Reb Chaim Vital lay dormant for 100 years until anybody unearthed the writings of Reb Chaim Vital. More than that, there was a cherem that the writings of the Ari, of Reb Chaim Vital, cannot leave the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. But one thing we learn from history is that if you want to ensure that something happens, put a cherem against it, and that is almost a guaranteed way to make sure it will happen. Okay, and that's what happened. Kimat no cherem was ever adhered to, be it the cherem not to unearth the documents of Chaim Vital, be it the cherem not to teach the teachings of Arizal outside of Eretz Yisrael. And that's how we have Kabbalah today. But the question is, so how did it get from the Arizal until this generation? That's what we're going to discuss today. Okay, so we start with a sefer called Shivchei HaArizal. The Shivchei Ari is an ancient work. Over the years, there are many different texts of the Shivchei Ari, many different manuscripts. And we're going to be learning today from a trilogy of one of the leading Mekubalim today, one of the Mekubalim that's very accepted in the Olam HaYeshivos, and that's Rabbi Yaakov Hillel. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel has managed to be one of the most prominent Mekubalim today, and yet Niskabel B'chol Tfutzos Yisrael, and he wrote a trilogy. The name of the trilogy is Shivchei HaAri, where he took all the manuscripts that extant of the Shivchei HaAri, and he sort of edited, corrected, amended what he considers the most authoritative version. There's a Sefer HaAri V'Gurav, the Arizal and his lion cubs, as they're called, the Talmidei HaAri. And then there's a Sefer called Kisvuni L'Doyrois, which speaks about the Cherem not to transmit the teachings of Arizal and the subsequent transmission of the Torah of Kabbalah. Okay, so let's begin with a story. So one night, the Arizal was not in Eretz Yisrael. Where does Arizal live? The Arizal was in Egypt. I believe he was a Yasim, and he was together with his mother and his uncle. And there's a big debate in history, was Arizal an Ashkenazi or a Sephardi? His last name was?
Luria.
Luria. You cannot get more Ashkenazic than the name Luria. The Marshal, one of the all-time great Achroinim, one of the rationalistic Polish Achroinim, he's Luria, related to the Arizal. But there's a machlokes. So what's he doing in Egypt? I mean, if he's Ashkenazim generally don't live in Egypt. So, you know, what is he? So it's a big debate. Just bekitzer, Ashkenazim say he's a Sephardi, and Sephardim say he's an Ashkenazi. And there's a very important reason for that. And that is, which Nusach is better? Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Sephard? It's a big debate. What's better? Rav Moshe says, Nusach Ashkenaz. The Hasidim say, Nusach Sephard. It's a very big machlokes. What does it depend on? It depends on the Arizal. Because Arizal daven Nusach Ari. But wait, if he's an Ashkenazi, aha! So you see, you could switch from Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Sfard. So the Sfardim all say he was an Ashkenazi to demonstrate that Nusach Ari is so much greater than Nusach Ashkenaz. The Haraya, the Ari, who must have grown up davening Nusach Ashkenaz, switched to Nusach Ari. And the Ashkenazim say, no, no, no. He was always a Sfardi. You know, so that he didn't switch. It's a big machlekes. Chida, the Munkacher. Okay, it's a big topic. Maybe one day we'll discuss it. Be it as it may, the Arizal is in Egypt. And one night, he gets a phone call. Min HaShamayim. Who's the phone call come from? The yeshiva of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. What this means is beyond the scope of today's lecture, okay? So he hears some bas call. He says, what are you doing in Egypt? By the way, who is Arizal's Rebbe? The Arizal's Rebbe was the Radvaz, Rav David Ben Zimra, who's a Rav in Cairo for 40 years. He wrote more than 2,500 tshuvos. He was the Rebbe, the Arizal, and the Shita Mekubetzes, Rav Betzal Ashkenazi. He says, what are you doing in Egypt? Get out of here. Go to Tzfas. You'll elevate yourself to a very high madrega. You should know your life is very short. You'll be buried in Tzfas. You will teach your great Talmud, Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital, my Talmud. Rav Chaim Vital at the time was considered much greater than the Arizal. And you will teach him, and he will take your place. And we're going to see, they revealed to the Ari who Rav Chaim Vital's soul was. And so Arizal says, I'm going to teach him. So he said, that's right. You owe him big time. So what do you mean I owe him big time? In a previous Gilgal, he was your Rebbe. So you have chayvos to pay, and therefore in this Gilgal, you're going to be his Rebbe. So it's a very interesting thing. Something, you know, the Rebbe thinks he's doing the Talmidim a favor. It's just the opposite. In a previous Gilgal, the Rebbe learned from the Talmidim, so he comes back in this world, he has to pay back his chayvos. Okay. So that is what is brought down in the Sefer Shivchei HaAri. In the Shar HaGilgulim, okay, don't try this at home. In the Shar HaGagulim, the Arizal always used to tell his Talmud, Rav Chaim Vital, you know who you are? You're not a Pashut Yid. You have a very holy neshama. You have a very elevated neshama. You have the neshama of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, me? Ani Akotan, I'm Rabbi Akiva. He said, yeah, and the proof is in the pudding. You know what the proof is? You know how every time you see somebody about to be killed, you almost faint? Why is it? Everybody else watches. Maybe they're scared, maybe they're terrified, but you know, they're able to, they have the wherewithal, and you come out, you can't even take it. You know why? Because you still feel in your bones the torture of when they tortured you when you were Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, every time you see somebody about to be Moser Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem, you cannot faint. That's the first raya. So Rav Chaim Vital said, pretty good. You know, I never realized that. I never thought about that. And then that Rizal said, another proof that you're Rabbi Akiva is, remember when you were a young man, you were always attracted to the Sefer, Perkei de Rabbi Elazar. By the way, Perkei de Rabbi Elazar is the first recorded Torah Shebaal Peh. Said Rav Chaim Vital, Taka, you know, it's one of my favorite Sfarim. Yeah, Harizal, you know why? Because you're Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva's Rabbi is Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, and that's why you love to learn Perkei de Rabbi Elazar. Now you should know, the Arizal throughout Shara Gulam tells Rav Chaim Vital many different Tanoim who he was a Gilgal of, but primarily he was the Gilgal of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, now how did Rav Chaim Vital get to Tzvas? Here's the story. Where did Rav Chaim Vital live? Rav Chaim Vital was a resident of Damascus, which, by the way, as of this morning, is probably not the best place to be living. Okay? And every night, the Arizal would remove his neshama. Okay, now the Arizal is in Tzfas. How the Arizal, if you still want to know, how did the Arizal remove the neshama of Chaim Vital? So that's beyond the scope of this shir. Okay? And he would speak to him. He said, what are you doing there? What are you doing in Damascus? There might be airstrikes any day. What's going on? Get out of here. Come to Tzfas. If you want to know Abyssal Kabbalah, come to Tzfas. Every night he would have dreams where that Rizal would remove his neshama, come to learn from me. You only came to this world for me to rectify your soul. And he had these dreams and dreams and dreams. And in the morning he would wake up and he would tell his Talmidim the dreams, and they would laugh and they would laugh and they would laugh, because Rav Chaim Vital was considered far greater than the Arizal. Until finally he couldn't take it anymore. And he decided he has to see for himself. So he made the arduous trip from Damascus all the way to Tzfas. And he said, let me see for myself, you know, is the Arizal as advertised? So he comes to the Ari, and he asked the Ari, you know, how do you explain this passage in the Zohar? You know, he asked him his best kasha. The Arizal started to tell him secrets upon secrets upon secrets. The Rav Chaim Vital was astounded. So he asked him, he couldn't believe it. So he asked him his toughest question, his hardest question. And that Rizal told him levels upon levels upon levels of soydei, 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 soydei. And then finally Rav Chaim Vital asked him, you know, the question that he never knew the answer to. And that Rizal said, Ad kan tchum Shabbos. Meaning, it's not for you. You'll never understand that. And it's brought in the Shivchei Ari that Rav Chaim Vital was dumbfounded. Rav Chaim Vital was despondent. He was so depressed. He was so saddened that the Arizal had rejected him and didn't give him this information. That night, he rolled around in the dust. He fasted. He cried out that Kosh Baruch Hu should give him favor in the eyes of the Arizal. The Arizal should teach him the secrets of the Torah. And the next day, he comes before the Ari and he falls on his face and he kisses his hands and feet and he cries, please, na'al tishiveni reka milfanecha. And the Arizal says, you know, the truth is, I should have kicked you out the door. Because how many times do I need to remove your soul every night and tell you to come here? You think it's a joke? I mean, every night I have to come remove your soul? So the truth is, I should have rejected you. But last night when you rolled in the dust and you cried and you beseeched, they like that in Shamayim, so I will accept you, I'll accept you. Fine, so the Chaim Vital made the big move from Damascus to Tzfas, and he's sitting in front of the Ari. And every day that Arizal is teaching him, the light is on that? Every day that Arizal is teaching him, and every day that Arizal is teaching him, and Rav Chaim Vital comes home, and his wife says, Nu, what'd you learn? He says, Taka, It was an amazing shir. You can't. Yeah, I know. Okay, it was an amazing shir. But Nuz, Zagibber, what did you learn? I'm not exactly sure. You know, sometimes you could go to a shir, you come up, oh, it was amazing spiel. What was it about? I'm not sure what it was about, but it was really good, you know? It happens. You could hear, Reb Chaim Vital could not remember anything. Somehow, everything that Arizal taught him was very elusive. So he comes to Arizal, he said, what should I do? I can't remember a word the Rebbe teaches. So Arizal says, don't worry, there's a simple solution. So he took him on a trip to the Kinneret, and he took him to a certain spot, and he put a cup in the water. He said, drink this. It's the Be'era Shel Miriam. And he drank Be'era Shel Miriam. And by the way, it works like a sin. It's really very effective to help you remember. Now, you might want to know, so where is the Be'era Shel Miriam? So I'm going to tell you right now, okay? In the Shar HaGulgulim, Daf Ayin Hamabez, it says, Belechtecha derech yam teveria el chame teveria. When you go to the Kinneret, to the hot springs, be'emtza haderech mamish b'makom sheish tekalam rabin b'sfas hayam. Right, you know how by the edge there are like a whole bunch of palm trees over there? So that spot, okay? Mechuvan connected migal echad, right opposite the tower, at the top of the mountain, that's where Be'er Shel Miriam is. So, you heard it here, but you know, I wouldn't just go around telling anybody about it, but now you know. Now you know it is. So Reb Chaim Vital is learning from the Arizal, and one day he musters up the courage. He says, "Mayri v'Rabbi, you know, you teach so much. Why don't you write down what you teach us? Why don't you record some of the teachings that you're giving over to us?" And the Arizal said, "No, I can't do that. If every reed in the world was a pen, it would not suffice for me to record everything I want to teach you. You should know that every time I open up my mouth, says Ari, there's such a torrent of knowledge that is emanating from Shamayim through my mouth that it's kimat, I'm almost going to choke and be washed away. I don't even know which sinar, which pipeline I should open up, because every time I open my peh, there's such a rage from Shamayim of information to teach you. Let me give you an analogy, says Ari. When a young baby nurses from his mother, if the opening would be too big, chas v'shalom, the baby would choke. So the opening is like the size of a pin. So too, I have to be very careful in what I teach you. I can only open up a hair's breadth, and I can't open more, because if I open more, it would be like it would flood the world. Here's my etzah, and this is one of the most mysterious things that the Arizal ever said. My etzah is, everyone here needs to write down what they hear from me. However, I only give reshus for Reb Chaim Vital to write down what I say. Why? Because he's a spark of Rabbi Akiva. But everyone has to write down everything I tell you. Huh? You hear what he says? He says that every ma'etza is shekol echad mikem yichtoiv ma sheshama mimeni, and it should be a zikara in ledoyres habaim. Omnam lo niten reshus lichtoiv zulas Reb Chaim Vital, because only he is yodea leirei l'soiv daiti. Im kol zeh hayu kol echad mehem koisiv mashu shomea min arav. So first he says everyone needs to write. Then he says only Reb Chaim Vital is authorized to write. So somehow, only Reb Chaim Vital was authorized to officially record for dissemination. Everyone was allowed to write down for the personal use and the personal memory, and even for their Talmidim. But only Reb Chaim Vital, who perfectly understood exactly what the Arizal meant to convey, only he was allowed to record Ledoyrois, the teachings of the Ari. In fact, what is the greatest work that Reb Chaim Vital wrote? It's called the Eitz Chaim. In the Hakdama to the Eitz Chaim, it's brought that the Arizal gave an Azhara Chamura, that nobody else was allowed to record any of his teachings. Because Arizal said, nobody else understands me properly. Some Talmidim are going to add, some of them are going to detract, none of them are going to get head on what I mean to convey. Only Reb Chaim Vital is authorized to convey my teachings, Ledoris. By the way, look at number 6. Reb Chaim Vital writes, "Kiktzas mechavareinu kasul hem svarim ashashamu mimayri." Some of my friends wrote svarim what they heard from the Ari. Vezulasai al shemai. Vekulam kisva hadvarim betoysevs vegerain. They all blew it. Either they added or they took away because of their yodia and their havana. And because of that, the teachings of the Arizal that appear in their writings is very unclear. So this is the tradition that we have. Our tradition is that only Reb Chaim Vital was authorized to convey the teachings of the Arizal Adoris. By the way, who is Reb Chaim Vital's Rebbe in Nigla? Who's Reb Chaim Vital's Rebbe in the revealed portion of the Torah? So the Shem HaGdolim, the Chida, brings down. In Pshat, he was a Rebbe of the Alshech.
He was the Talmud of
Tal. Right, sorry, thank you. He was the Talmud B'Pshat of the Alshech. But when the Alshech was teaching him Pshat, Alshech got wind of the fact that Reb Chaim Vital was a big expert in Kabbalah. So he said, who are you learning Kabbalah from? Learning from the Ari. I also want to learn Kabbalah from the Ari. The Arizal did not want to accept the Alshech. So the legend has it, the Alshech came to learn from the Ari, and whenever he would learn, he would fall asleep. So Arizal said, take that as a sign that this ain't for you. Yeah, stick to the Perush al HaTorah, but Kabbalah is for the Reb Chaim Vital, but the Arizal did not teach the Alshech the secrets of Kabbalah. Okay, now, there's a big historical debate. First of all, the writings of Reb Chaim Vital, he brings over here. V'hine Rabbeinu ha'arid siva sheshum talmid lo yichtav zulas Reb Chaim Vital. The Arizal warned that none of his talmidim could record his teaching except Reb Chaim Vital. But because of their cheshek and their desire, a lot of them wrote various kontrasim, and Reb Chaim Vital did not give permission for anyone to copy his writings. And basically what happened was Reb Chaim Vital was sick one time and somehow his writings got out. Okay. Be it as it may, who was older? The Arizal or Reb Chaim Vital? Some historians say that Reb Chaim Vital was older. However, the Chida rejects that. Chida says like this. Some say that when he came to learn with Arizal, Reb Chaim Vital was older than the Ari. However, says the Chida, in my humble opinion, if you look in the Sefer Chizyonos from Reb Chaim Vital, it says Reb Chaim Vital, this is born in the Sefer Chizyonos, was born in the year Shin Gimel. What is the year Shin Gimel? When is the year Shin Gimel? Shin Gimel is the year 1543. And when he came to learn from the Ari, it's the year Shin Lamed Aleph. What year is that? 1571. So if he was born in 1543, and he's learning Kabbalah from him in 1571, how old was Reb Chaim Vital? Reb Chaim Vital was 28 years old. Fine. Now, it's an amazing thing. If you look at how many books Reb Chaim Vital wrote from the Arizal, you have Shar HaMitzvahs, you have Shar HaKavanos, you have Shar HaGulgulim, you have Arba Meos Shekel. You want to know where they are? They're behind that door. There's like a secret bookcase. They have all the svarim of Reb Chaim Vital. You know, a dozen or so svarim. It's very interesting. You would have expected if Reb Chaim Vital learned all of this from Arizal, he must have been a Talmud from Arizal for, I don't know, 20 years, 10 years. He learned from the Arizal for 1 year and 10 months, 22 months. That was, the Arizal came to Eretz Yisrael. He was 37 years old. And he was nifter at the age of 38. So that means Reb Chaim Vital was 28. And the Arizal was 38. That means the Arizal was 10 years older than Reb Chaim Vital. Okay, so far, what we're learning is Reb Chaim Vital is a primary disciple of the Ari. The Ari only gave permission to Reb Chaim Vital to disseminate his works. None of the other Talmidim, even though they were great and there were many, nevertheless, they did not have permission to record and disseminate any of the teachings of the Arizal. And now we encounter one of the greatest mysteries and dilemmas in the tradition of Kabbalah. If I were to ask you, how many worlds are there? How many worlds are there? How many worlds are there? There are primarily, Alpi Kabbalah, four worlds. Chavetz Chaim writes about it in the Sefer Avas Chesed. There's the Olam, and this is alluded to in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Hakol l'chvoidai barosiv yitzartiv asisiv. So there are four worlds. What are they? Abia, that stands for Atzilus, is the highest world. The Olam HaAtzilus is the world that, so to speak, the Lashon of Chafetz Chaim is Sheshamhu Mishkan Kevoidai. That is where the dwelling of the honor of Hashem is. Below that is the Olam HaBriya. Below that is the Olam HaYitzira, where the Chayos HaKodesh are. And what world are we in? We hope. Hello? Yeah, hello, everyone. We're in this world, okay? We're in Olam HaAsiya, Abia, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. What was the first world created? I guess the Olam HaAtzilus. What was before that? Don't go there. What was the? That's, you know, forbidden territory. We don't go there. What was before Atzilus? Nowhere in any of the writings of Chaim Vital does he ever mention explicitly what's before Atzilus. Before Atzilus. He doesn't go there. And yet, if you look in some of the classic, even Musar Svarim, that are learned in the Olam HaYeshivos, namely the Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim was written by who? Chaim V'Lajner. Chaim V'Lajner was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. The writings of Rav Chaim V'Lajner write explicitly about a makom that exists before Atzilus. Okay, so I'm not telling you from a Kabbalah sefer. Telling you from the Nefesh HaChaim. So I didn't learn in yeshiva. They said only learn Shar Dalad. You went to that kind of yeshiva? I did, but it's in Shar Dalad. In Shar Dalad, the Nefesh HaChaim writes explicitly what is in the world before Atzilus. So the question is, where did he get it from? What do you mean? Where? How does Rav Chaim V'Lajner know? What gave him the right? From where? Who told him about what exists before Atzilus? I'll read to you openly. The Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Dalet says the Nefesh HaChaim, V'gam ki sharsha ha'elyon shel ha'toyra ha'kadosha, the root, the supreme root of the Holy Torah, who be'elyon is on high, shebha'ilamais, the highest of the worlds, hanikram oilamais ein saif. It's called the world of no end. Said hamalbush hanelam, the secret of the hidden cloak. Hanizgar, that's mentioned, besisrei pliois chachma, in the secrets of the wonders of wisdom. Mi toras rabbeinu Ari? From the writings of the Ari doesn't talk about what exists beyond, in a world called Ein Saif. Shehu reishis said oisiyos ha-Torah, which is the secret of the letters of the Holy Torah, like it says, Hashem kanani reishis darkoi. This is what it means, the Torah was kadma lo'olam. Right, we know the Torah existed 974 generations before the world was created. That means it existed before Atzilus. So it existed in a realm called Olam Ein Soif that is prominently described in the writings of the Arizal. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, V'emesh HaKad Megvil Gam Olam Atzilus! It came in for Atzilus! He's getting this from the Ari. You could look even behind that door in all the books. It doesn't say one word about a world that existed before Atzilus. Where did Reb Chaim V'Lajner get it from? He says it's in the writings of the Arizal. This is a tremendous wonder. Number one, nowhere in the writings of Reb Chaim Vital is it mentioned about a world called Ein Soif that existed before Atzilus. By the way, not that I know what this is. I'm just reporting to you the facts as they present themselves in the Nefesh HaChaim, just to get, not an understanding of what this means, a historical perspective of the transmission of Kabbalah. Where did Reb Chaim V'Lajner get it from? And what's even more strange, so you'll see maybe he got it from a different student of the Ari. Because Reb Chaim Vital never wrote a word about an Olam Ein Soif. But the problem is, didn't the Arizal give a very strict admonition that no other student other than Reb Chaim Vital is allowed to transmit his Torah? So if Reb Chaim V'Lajner got it from a different student, is he not concerned with the admonition of the Ari? And the truth is, take a look at number 10, in Reb Chaim V'Lajner's Hakdama to Safra Ditzniusa, he writes that every time the Vilna Gaon would invoke the name Arizal, he would literally shake in fear and dread and Kedusha. He said that Rizal's revelations and knowledge of Torah was beyond understanding, and that's before he had Gilui Eliyahu. And after he had Gilui Eliyahu, the whole world was open to him. And then he would say that the truth is, the writings of the Arizal that do not come from Rav Chaim Vital, there are many contradictions, and there are many stirois, and it's very hard to reconcile. And therefore, the Goyin would say, anything that doesn't come from the Ari through Rav Chaim Vital, ein lismeich aleihem. So apparently the Vilna Gaon himself was well aware and well concerned about the admonition of the Ari that only Rav Chaim Vital is authorized to record and transmit his teachings. That being the case, where in the world do the Nefesh HaChaim... Now, let's just set something up, very important. The Vilna Gaon seems to have had a different branch of Kabbalah from the Ari. He transmitted it primarily to Rav Chaim Elazner, who gave it over to Rav Menachem Mendel Mishkalov, Rav Yisrael Mishkalov, the Nachlas David, who then gave it over to Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, who's called the Peshlishi. He's the third mouth from the Gaon. And then really the main disseminator and elucidator of the Kabbalah of the Gra was done by a great Gaon, the grandfather of Rav Elyashiv, the Leshem, Rav Shloima Elyashiv. I had this chus to be at his kever recently on Har HaZesim. Here the Leshem, the Baal HaLeshem, Shom El Yashiv, is probably the main disseminator of the Kabbalah of the Vilna Gaon. And he also deals with this question directly. And he says, if you take a look at number 9, the Leshem in something called Hakdamos U'Sha'arim, in what he calls Hakdama L'Shar HaPoina Kadim, he says as follows. He says there are many secrets and wonders that were revealed through the Arizal beyond what is found in the Eitz Chaim, but they were not revealed through Rav Chaim Vital. They were revealed through other Talmidim who were also Kedosh Elyon. We know that the Arizal did not give Smicha Lo Samach Es Yadav, only on Rav Chaim Vital, and therefore many have refrained on learning the Kabbalah that came to us, not through Rav Chaim Vital. And even though I, says the Leshem, primarily I'm focused on the Kabbalah that came through Rav Chaim Vital, but nevertheless, it is very important that there is an entire branch of Kabbalah that Rav Chaim Vital does not speak about, and that is called the world that existed before Atzilus. And who mentions this? He says this is, even Rav Chaim Vital himself alludes to it. And then he says as follows, the Rav Chaim Volozhiner in the Nefesh HaChaim Shar Dalet Perek Yud speaks about the Torah being rooted in something called Olam Hayis Ein Sof, which preceded Olam HaAtzilus. And all of this wisdom, listen carefully, even though it did not come to us through Rav Chaim Vital, is smuchim umeskamim ibeis midrashay shel hagra. The Gra gives his haskama on this little branch of wisdom, namely the branch of wisdom of what world existed before Atzilus. And the question is, and where did the Gra get it from? Says the Leshem, listen to this, the Gra got it from one of the all-time great Mekubalim, the Rama Mipano. Rav Menachem Azaria of Pano. He was one of the great Italian Mekubalim. Okay, and where did he get it from? He can't make it up. He got it from the main figure that we're going to speak about today, a figure that's not so well known, but should be well known, Rav Yisrael Saruk, one of the Talmidim of the Arizal. Rav Yisrael Saruk, I heard Rav Chaim Vital. Who's Rav Yisrael Saruk? So here what's going on? Even though the main tradition of Kabbalah went from the Ari to Rav Chaim Vital to the whole world, nevertheless, the Arizal had a student called Rav Yisrael Saruk. And Rav Yisrael Saruk had a Talmud, the Rav Menachem Azaria of Pano, or his English name was Rav Emanuel of Pano. And he disseminated Torah of the Arizal to the whole world. By the way, the Rama Mipano wrote many famous svarim. He wrote Shas Tshuvas in Halacha, Shas Tshuvas, Ramah Mipano. He wrote Asara Ma'amoros. He wrote Mayan Ganim. He wrote Maimar Mea Kesita. He wrote Maimar Im Kolchai. He wrote Maimar Chikar Hadin. He wrote Maimar Yoinas Elam. These are all the teachings of the Ramah Mipano. And where did he get it from? Rabbi Yisrael Saruk. And where did Rabbi Yisrael Saruk get it from? The Arizal. But the problem is that the Arizal gave a very strict admonition that only Reb Chaim Vital is allowed to disseminate his Torah. And here the Leshem is saying that even though he focuses primarily on the Kabbalah from the Reb Chaim Vital, but he cannot help but also teach and dedicate a separate chapter of his teaching called Hakdama L'Shar HaPoin HaKadim to what existed before Atzilus, that he feels this branch of Kabbalah has a Haskamah from the Goyin, who got it from the Ramah Mipano, not directly, the Ramah Mipano lived 100 years or so before the Goyin, who got it from Rabbi Yisrael Saruk. So who in the world allowed Rabbi Yisrael Saruk to disseminate this knowledge when the Arizal gave a very strict admonition that only Reb Chaim Vital is allowed to disseminate it? By the way, so one of the places that we know it is from Reb Chaim Vital, from the Hakdama to the Pri Yetz Chaim. But it seems like we have independent traditions of it. What are they? I don't know. I'm assuming that part of the tradition comes from the fact that the Arizal had many Talmidim in Tzfas, and they allowed this to disseminate, that Reb Chaim Vital wrote, that he's the only one who's allowed to write it, without saying anything. You know, the Arizal had many Talmidim. Besides that, it's brought down in the Shivchei Ho'ari, which is not written by Reb Chaim Vital. But that seems to be the tradition. I don't have independent research on that particular point. If you look in something called, if somebody wants to know about Gogulim, there are two primary Sfarim on Gogulim. There's something called Gogulei Neshamos, Sefer HaGogulim of Reb Chaim Vital, and there's something called Gogulei Neshamos of the Ramah Mipano. And sometimes they're at odds, you know? So, what do you, in the Sefer Gogulim of the Ari, sometimes they'll say he's a Gogol of A, and the Shah Gogulim, Gogulei Neshamos of the Ramah Mipano will say he's a Gogol of B. In the Hakdam of Gogulei Neshamos, look at number 11, from Rav Nachum Azaria of Pano, he says, this is my tradition from the Ari, from none other than Rabbi Yisrael Saruk. In fact, if you look in the Chidah, in the Shema Gedoylem, Mareches Gedoylem, Ois Mem, he says, the Ramah Mipano was a student in Kabbalah from Rabbi Yisrael Saruk. How do we know Ramah Mipano was a student in Kabbalah from Yisrael Saruk? How many times in the writings of the Ramah Mipano does he quote Rabbi Yisrael Saruk? One time. And I'm going to tell you what it is. And even more than that, I'm going to explain it to you, but only at the end of the shiur. Says the Ramah Mipano in the Sefer Maimar Im Kolchai, once we're on the subject of Kriya Shema, let me tell you about a Gemara in Brachos. Now, the Gemara, if you turn to your sheet of number 29, the Gemara says like this. Tani Rabba Vadya Kamei Derava. It says about Shema V'limadetem Sheyehei Limudcha Tam. Your learning should be wholesome. Sheyitein Revach Bein Advekim. You should leave spaces between words that are connected. Oni Rava Basrei, Rava responded, like what? Kagoin, Al Levavecha, Al Levavchem, Bechol Levavcha, Bechol Levavchem, Esev Besadcha, Va'avadetem Mehera, Hakonof Psil, Eschem Meyaretz. Eight examples. Thank you very much, Rava. I never without you would have known what Deveka means. I mean, I need Rava for this. Here's a man, he could bring the dead back to life. And he has to go through the trouble of telling me where there are two words in Shema that end with the letter and begin with the same letter. I need Rava for that. What's Rava's chiddush? Beyond that, those are not the only examples. Why did Rava pick those eight? There are many examples. Look in the Art Scroll Siddur. There are about 50 of those, you know, lines to tell you to pause between. Sometimes, you know, the rabbi's still saying, what's he doing there? Why is he taking so long? What's he doing? He's saying it three times? He's saying five parashiyos of Shema? What's he doing? The answer is you're supposed to pause between the words that are indicated. But why does Rava only mention eight? Weiter. Amar Rav Chama Rabbi Chanina, Kal HaKoyre Kriya Shema, anyone who reached out medakdek v'oisiyosa and is careful in pronouncing the letters, mitzanen lo gehenom. When it's hot in Gehenna, they turn on the AC. And the Gemara brings a raya. Okay, I could think of many good deeds that a person could do. The only good deed mentioned in Shas, that they cool off the hot place, is if you're medakdik by Shema. How does that work? Why, you know, what's the logic of that? That if a person's medakdik by Kriya Shema, they cool off the hot place. Says the Ramami panel, look at this. On the fourth line, we buy Lan Laminda, we need to know. Mai Kamashwan Rava, Dahainu Hach. Ulakushna the Milsama actually enough, so Kidvekim al Oysa shall understand. Why are these the only ones that he mentioned? Says the Ramami Pano, it's specifically these eight. Shemana Zugois Bilvad, Arba Lamedin, four Lamids. What's the Gematria of four Lamids? 120, train lememin, two mems, that's another 80, that's 200. Ech, one bays, that's 202. And one pay, 282. Mispar kulon shishim, it adds up to 60. Right? Perfect. Right? It's really good. It's a perfect gematria. Four lamids, 120. Two bases, four mems. And two pays, it equals what? 60. Okay. In the cheshvin of Ze'er Dechanoich, because I have a Kabbalah from the Ari, from Rabbi Yisrael, one of his great Talmidim, who taught me a lot of Torah. And if you want to know more, I'll tell you later. And this is the one time that the Ramami Pano quotes Rabbi Yisrael Sarag. What's the meaning of this? If we could crack the meaning of this, it would be an incredible thing. Marv Raboisai, Rabbi Yisrael Saruk had another Talmud. One of the great Kadmoinim on Shas was the Be'er Sheva, Rabbi Yisachar Doiv Eilenberg. And in the Hakdama to the Be'er Sheva, he writes, I have a tradition in Kabbalah on the Safra Tzniusa that I heard from Ha'adam HaGadol, Rabbi Yisrael Saruk, who served the Kabbalah Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. And you know how I got it from him? Through the Chacham Ezra Mipano. Who's that? Who's Ezra Mipano? It's a big mystery. It is a big mystery. Comes the Baal HaLashem, and he says something incredible. The Shlach HaKadosh says that after the Reb Chaim Vital wrote the Eitz Chaim, the writings of Reb Chaim Vital lay dormant, maybe even in his grave, for 100 years. Meanwhile, Reb Yisrael Sarug, now where the Ramami Pano live? In Mantua. Where's Mantua? Italy. He's learning from Yisrael Sarug, who is the Talmud of the Arizal. So think about it. All the traditions of the Arizal lay dormant for 100 years. And the one part that Reb Chaim Vital seems not to have learned about, which is what existed before Atzilus, Reb Yisrael Sarug, somehow he left from Tzvas, he went to Italy, and he's teaching secrets that Reb Chaim Vital did not disseminate, it didn't spread for 100 years, and all these secrets are already spreading 100 years before the teachings of Reb Chaim Vital. Says the Baal HaLashem, Reb Shlomo Eliashiv, an amazing thing, an amazing turn of events, that even though Reb Chaim Vital did not want to spread this branch of wisdom, through the other Talmidim of the Arizal, Hashkacha Pratis had that it spread throughout the world because the Ramami Pano was Nifter in the year Shin Pei. The year Shin Pei is 1620. And already in 1620, his Sfarim were widespread all over Europe. And even though his Sfarim were wide all of Europe, Reb Chaim Vital's Sfarim never entered Europe. Hear what's going on? So the wisdom of what existed by Olam HaAtzilus is all over Europe, and all the teachings of the Arizal were lagging behind 100 years. That's the Hashgacha. So it comes out that the teachings of the Ari from Rabbi Yisrael Sarug through the Ramami Pano had 100-year head start before the teachings of Reb Chaim Vital. Now let me just tell you one other thing. Before the Ramami Pano met Rabbi Yisrael Sarug, he didn't know anything about the Kabbalah Ari because that Kabbalah Ari didn't make its way to Europe. It was in Cherem. It couldn't leave the parameters of Eretz Yisrael. He was a very big Talmud of the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero. He actually purchased the Ar Yakar of Rav Moshe Cordovero, and he considered himself a student of Rav Moshe Cordovero until he met his Rebbe, Rabbi Sol Saruk, and then he sort of dropped the learning of Rav Moshe Cordovero and only started to learn the writings of the Arizal. But still, we have this tremendous mystery. Rabbi Arizal said, only Rav Chaim Vital is authorized to teach my tradition. And here we have it, that the Ramami Pano is disseminating a branch of wisdom, and it's going, continuing through the Leshem, what he learned from Yisrael Sarug. How was Rabbi Yisrael Sarug authorized to disseminate this branch of wisdom from the Arizal? So who would ask a question like this? I don't know.
The Yisrael Sarug was a Talmud of the Arizal before the Chaim Vital showed up on the
screen. So you're barking up a good tree. The Ramami Pano wrote another sefer. He wrote something called Alfasi Zuti, a kitzer of the Alfasi, kitzer of the Rif. And in the last century, they wanted to reprint the Alfasi Zuti. And they brought it to Rav Huttner to give a haskama to it. Now Rav Huttner, aside from being a Talmud of Slabodka, was also a Mekubal. Where did he learn Kabbalah from? From Rav Kook. In the writings of Rav Huttner, when he writes from the Chachmei Emes, he means Rav Kook. Rav Huttner would say he has two stories of his building. The first story he got from Slabodka. The second story he learned from Rav Kook. In any event, Rav Pachad Yitzchak says, I'm going to write a Haskama on the Ramami Pano, one of the Kadmoinim. Who am I? Why would he need my Haskama? But what I would like to do is I would like to present to the Olam HaTorah to appreciate the role that the Ramam Mipano played in the Shalshelas HaKabbalah, in the transmission of Kabbalah. That the Ramam Mipano was not just an individual tzaddik and an individual goyin, but he actually was one of the main disseminators in the tradition and the chain of Kabbalah. Says Rav Huttner, it is well known, the warning of the Arizal, that only Reb Chaim Vital is authorized to transmit. But on the other hand, there are many ideas that are found in the Leshem and the Nefesh HaChaim that do not present themselves in any of the writings of Reb Chaim Vital. Says Rav Huttner, we have to look at Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Says Reb Tzadok HaKohen in the Sefer HaZichroinos, the number 21. Says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, Reb Chaim Vital did not want that any of his writings leave his Rishus. But nobody agreed with him. He didn't want it to leave his Rishus. But all the other Talmidim did want it to leave his Rishus, probably because they took the admonition of the Ari very seriously, that nobody else could record. No one else could record. How's the world going to know about the Arizal? And they stole his writings. And they publicized it. That's what Reb Tzadok HaKohen writes. Aye, there's a cherem that the writings of Reb Chaim Vital cannot leave the confines of Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't forever. And what kind of cherem is that, says Reb Tzadok HaKohen? What's the difference? You think just because you live in Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden you're, you know, a tzaddik yisoid oilam, that you could learn the Kabbalah, and if you leave Eretz Yisrael, you're not? You know, it's like any cherem. And then Reb Tzadok HaKohen sort of opens up the world. Besides Reb Chaim Vital, Rabbi Yisrael Sarug was the greatest student of the Ari. The moment the Arizal died at age 38, Rabbi Yisrael Sarug booked And he went straight to Italia. Now we're going to learn he may have made a few stops along the way, and you wouldn't believe where. And he disseminated orally all the teachings of the Ari. And after him, the Rambam Ippano disseminated everything he learned from Yisrael Sarug, including many Olamos Reb Chaim Vital doesn't discuss, like the Soidos HaMalbosh. Aye, what about the admonition of the Ari? Here it comes, drum roll. Either he heard it before Reb Chaim Vital came onto the scene. He, of course, Reb Chaim Vital was warned, nobody after you, nobody now is allowed to disseminate my teaching. Rabbi Yisrael Sarug had already been learning from the Arizal. So he was, so to speak, grandfathered in. Or they missed each other. When the Arizal taught Reb Chaim Vital, Rabbi Yisrael Sarug wasn't there. And when the Arizal taught Rabbi Yisrael Sarug, Reb Chaim Vital wasn't there. They, you know, one had the day shift and one had the night shift. And somehow the admonition of the Ari to Reb Chaim Vital is, nobody besides you could teach, besides Rabbi Yisrael Sarug. Why? Either he's grandfathered in, or he just did a different shift. Be it as it may, Rabbi Yisrael Sarug's writings were unknown to Reb Chaim Vital. If he would have known about it, he would not have included it in his admonition. And therefore he did not compile it. And the entire discipline brought to the world via Rabbi Yisrael Sarug through the Rambam Ippano was not included in the admonition of Rav Chaim Vital. By the way, says Rav Hudner, Umi ba'aladov shal Rambam Ippano lo hayinu zoichim l'chol hagiluyim shal ari shalai nichlo b'taras Rav Chaim Vital. Thanks to the tradition of Rambam Ippano, much of the information Ari would have been lost forever, and that is namely the branch that came through Rabbi Yisrael Sarug. Now, let me tell you something very interesting. Says Rav Hutner, there is a historical inaccuracy in our printed versions of the Be'er Sheva. Because the Be'er Sheva says, how does the world know the wisdom of Rabbi Yisrael Sarug? Rabbi Ezra Mipano. Says Rav Hutner, this is a historical inaccuracy, and this inaccuracy is also found in the work of the great historian, Rav Shmuel Gerundi, in his Sefer, Toldos G'dol Yisrael V'Gaonei Italia. Rav Ezra Mipano is different than the Rambam Mipano, and they got confused. Rav Ezra Mipano was a great disciple of the Ramak. The Ramak's Kabbalah came to Europe through Rav Ezra Mipano. Arizal's Kabbalah came to Europe through Rabbi Yisrael Sarug and then through the Rambam Ippano. But who is Rabbi Yisrael Sarug? So we've answered the question. The question was, wasn't the Gra, wasn't Reb Chaim Belashner, wasn't the Leshem, aren't they concerned for the admonition of the Ari only Reb Chaim Vital? That admonition was besides Rabbi Yisrael Sarug. How? Either he was grandfathered in or he just showed up at different times. By the way, Rav Hutner says, it's not that he showed up at different times. He came before Reb Chaim Vital came to the scene. He was before, and he was already in Italy by the time Reb Chaim Vital was learning by the Arizal. Okay, who's Rabbi Yisrael Sarug? Who was he? What do we know about him? I mean, here, we all know about Reb Chaim Vital. I mean, he's drinking the Be'er Shel Miriam. He's, you know, the main disseminator of the Torah d'Ari. But who's Rabbi Yisrael Sarug? So anytime you want to know about a Gadol, you look in the Chidah, Shem HaGadolim. Says the Chidah in his entry in number 23 to Rabbi Yisrael Sarug. Rabbi Yisrael Sarug, look in my entry to Rabbi Shlomo Luria, the Marshal. Look in my entry to Rabbi Yisrael Ashkenazi. Maybe Rabbi Yisrael Sarug is Rabbi Yisrael Ashkenazi. Okay, who's Rabbi Yisrael Ashkenazi? So look in the Chidah's entry to Rabbi Yisrael Ashkenazi. Who's Rabbi Yisrael Ashkenazi? We don't know one single thing about Rabbi Yisrael Ashkenazi. Which means Rabbi Yisrael Sarug is one of the most obscure figures in Jewish history. What do we know about him? Absolutely nothing. All we know about him is he was the greatest student of the Arizal, aside from Reb Chaim Vital. He learned from him before. While Reb Chaim Vital's neshama was being plucked out every day in Damascus, Reb Yisrael Saruk was already there, learning from the Ari what existed before the Olam Atzilus. He's quoted, though, once in the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram brings a psak halacha from Reb Yisrael Saruk. You ready for this? Raise your hand if you do this. Some people have a minhag to fast every Erev Rosh Chodesh. Yeah? I believe Yom Kippur Katan. Not mistaken, I grew up in Flatbush. The Rav of our shul was Nifter very young, Rav Yitzchak Izbi. Zechon Levracha used to fast every Yom Kippur Katan. What if Yom Kippur Katan calls out on Shabbos? In other words, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, so he says, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Sunday, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Sunday, you're not going to fast Shabbos, then you fast Thursday. If Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, then you fast on Friday. The Ramami Pano writes, always fast before the Moilad. Why? Because of the Mi'ad HaYareach. And the Mekubal Rabbi Yisrael Saruk would fast on the day of the Moilad until the moment of the Moilad, and then the fast was over. So here you have a Magen Avram who quotes Rabbi Yisrael Saruk. And then I'm going to share with you one of the most fascinating things I ever heard in my life. So here you have somebody, he's learning at the feet of the Ari, and then he decides to go to Italy. Why would somebody learn who lived in Sfas in the 16th, you know, in the 17th century, go to Italy? Look in the Chida. In the Chida, in his entry to the Marshal, the Yamshel Shloimo, the great all-time rational Achroinim. He's the Rebbe, the Matei Moshe, the Masses Binyamin. Says the Chida, I heard he learned Kabbalah from Rebbe Yisrael Saruk. In Krakow? How in the world did a Talmud of the Arizal in Sfas, who somehow made his way down to Italy, teach the Marshal Kabbalah in Krakow? How's that possible? How is that humanly possible? Back then, nobody's traveling to Italy. Okay, so he went to Italy. Nobody's going to Krakow. Reb Yaakov Hillel, in his Sefer Ho'ari V'Gurav, he brings that the Chachmei, by the way, he says that Rabbi Yisrael Saruk had a number of Talmidim. One of his most famous Talmidim was Rav Avram Ariria, who he was his student in Amsterdam. So now Rabbi Yisrael Saruk is really making the rounds. He has Talmidim in Amsterdam, he has Talmidim in Italy, and he has Talmidim in Krakow. He also had a famous Talmud by the name of the Matzreif LaChachma, Reb Yashar Mikandia. He brings over here, Reb Yaakov Hillel brings over here, that the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, who began to taste the sweetness of the writings of Reb Chaim Vital, they were unhappy that the Torah of the Arizal spread to Chutz La'aretz, especially the Torah of the Ari that Reb Chaim Vital never signed off of, and therefore they made a cherem not to disseminate the teaching of the Ari and Chutz La'aretz. The Shla, when he writes back to Reb Shmuel ben Rav Mishum Faivish, requests from the Shla to send him some of the writings of the Arizal, and the Shla basically says, we can't do it. There's a cherem to disseminate such wisdom. Be it as it may, how in the world did the Marshal become a student of Rabbi Yisrael Saruk in Poland? So there's a new sefer. It's about 2 years old. It's called Olam HaTorah. It's written by Rabbi Chiel Michel Stern. Chiel Michel Stern is the Rav of Ezra's Torah. He comes to America every so often. He was in Kew Gardens, maybe a year or so ago, as a chus to meet him recently. He wrote over 100 Svarim. He's Heintegeist. Today, the Rav of Ezra. So he wrote more than 100 Svarim. He is considered the biggest Baki today in the Dalad Minim, Hilchas Dalad Minim. He wrote the color Sefer, the picture book on the Dalad Minim. That's one of the Svarim of Rabbi Chil Mechel Stern. He writes over here from Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolios, a contemporary of the Chassam Sefer, that because of Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael, he wanted the secrets of Arizal to be spread throughout the world. And Rabbi Yisrael Saruk was literally onus al pi hadibur to travel all throughout the world and spread the teachings of Arizal. Says Rabbi Chil Mechel Stern, what does it mean he's onus al pi hadibur? And that is the Arizal got wind that the Marshal in Krakow in Poland wanted to put the writings of the Arizal in Cherem. So Arizal got wind of that Baruch HaKodesh. So he says, we got to teach him, you know, we got to show him that this is good stuff. So the Arizal gave over to Rabbi Yisrael Saruk different shemois that he took, like, you know, the supersonic jet to Krakow. And he came and he taught the Marshal the teachings of the Arizal. So he said a shame and he, you know, poof, he's in Krakow. He taught the Marshal all the teachings of Arizal until the Marshal became a Talmud Muvak of Rabbi Yisrael Saruk, and he did not put the Kisrei Arizal in Cherem. So you want to know, how did he get to Krakow and to Italy and to, you know, you had to be there. Can't reveal exactly how he did that, but he did. So let's end off by explaining the one tradition that the Rama Mipano records. He heard from Rabbi Yisrael Saruk. What is Pshat in the Gemara Brachos on Daf? On Daf Tes Vav Omer Beis, that Rava comes along and says, to be mafsik ben hadvekim, al levavchem, al levavecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol levavchem, esev besadcha, va'avadetem mehera hakonof psil, eschem me'eretz. Rava said, give space between these dvekim. Says the Rama Mipano, I hear from Rabbi Yisrael Saruk, this is explained, b'chushban ze'er dechanoich. Okay, lots of help that is. Comes the Rama Mipano a little later on in the Maimar Im Kochai. He said, I'll get to it sometime. He said, if you want to understand the secret of this teaching, you have to know the Gemara in Tainis that Gan Eden is open to those who make spaces between the Dveikim and Kriya Shema, which equals 60. This is what it means. Gan Eden is the 60th of Gehenna. Not that that helped me, but there is a commentary on the bottom of the Rama Mipano which explains this, and I'll try to explain this to the best of my ability. And if it's not clear, it's because that's the level that I understand it on. There's a Gemara in Tainis on Daf Yud. The Gemara says like this. Mitzrayim is 400 parsa by 400 parsa. It's the 60th of Ethiopia. Ethiopia is the 60th of the world. The world is the 60th of the garden. The garden is the 60th of Eden. Eden is the 60th of Gehenna. So as big as the world is, Gehenna is much, much, much bigger. So you ask, why does Gehenna have to be so much bigger than Gan Eden? Seriously, you want to know? Posh it, why? Everything is a matter of necessity, right? You know, whenever you need more space, you just have to expand. Some places just need to be bigger than others. So that means Gehenna is 60 times the size of Gan Eden. Somehow, if you're able to make Gehenna smaller, make Gan Eden bigger, so it cools off Gehenna. But the secret number is 60. Al levavchem, al levavecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol levavchem, you have 8 lamids. A misbar ze'er dechanoich is just a fancy way of saying misbar katan. What's 8 times lamid? 240. What's the misbar katan of 240? 24. Then you have 4 mems. 4 times mem is 160. What's the misbar katan of 160? 16. 24 and 16 is 40. Then you have 2 bases. 4. What's the misbar katan of 4? 4. We're up to 44. Then you have 2 pays. 160. What's the misbar katan? 16. 60. 60. That means the misbar katan of all of these 8 spaces that Rava's Magala is 60. Chas v'sham, if you end up in Gehenim, Gehenim is the makam of 60. But if you could minimize it a 60th, then that's Gan Eden. So anyone who's zoicha to create a space between the 60, 60 is Gehenim. By opening that space, that's widening Gan Eden, and it cools off Gehenim. So they asked the Sa'amar Rebbe, you know, how come the Hasidim, they don't pronounce the words correctly? Doesn't the Gemara say that anyone who pronounces the words correctly, they cool off Gehenim? So says Rabbi Yoilish, I try to make sure they don't go there in the first place, you know? But be it as it may, that's the secret of the Gemara. That someone who's medactic in the oisiyos of Shema, the Rebbe Hashem is mitzanin and loy Gehenim. This is one of the secrets of Rabbi Yisrael Saruk, brought to us by the Ramah Mipano, who had an independent tradition. So the Arizal had his primary disciple, Chaim Vital, but there's also another disciple, Rabbi Yisrael Saruk, who disseminated through Ramah Mipano that we have today through the Gra, through the Rabbi Nachman Mishkolov, Rabbi Yisrael Mishkolov, and through the Rabbi Yisrael Isaac Chaver and the Baal HaLeshem. And we were zoicha to learn one of the soidois from Rabbi Yisrael Saruk, Zechusam v'tairasam yagein aleinu. Shkaya.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.